Please listen carefully.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. It is the second week in September, and we had like such a crazy home life this summer. We had, a car accident. I had to get a new car, and I like just started working from home and working substantially less hours. And then we had this massive tree fall in our yard, and my wedding ring broke. I mean, literally, it's been like one thing after another. So while I love summer, it was so great to be in like this new season. And this season, I've already started with so much work, like my attorney work, my outside attorney work, meaning like my full-time job, and then I've been doing outside work and with the blogging and the podcasting, and I'm launching. So, okay, I'll explain it. I didn't know if I was gonna go into this or not, but so I'm launching courses for bloggers, influencers, brands, businesses, and basically I'm going to teach you and provide you an understanding of how to protect yourself as a business owner, because essentially when you're a blogger, you are running a business. So I have things like Federal Trade Commission guidelines. I don't know if many of you know, but when you do giveaways, there are certain stipulations that you need to include in the post. So anything from that to like collaboration contracts, I'm really just trying to create and fill in a gap where there's, you know, a need for bloggers without having to really hire an expensive attorney, but protecting yourself at the same time, because I really do think it's so important. And being in the blogging world but also having that attorney hat, I always like double check before I post anything or say anything. And I think that a lot of people in this space would benefit from just, you know, having a little bit of knowledge that I'm so excited to share with everyone. So that will be launching October 24th. I'm also going to be available for one-on-one business coaching. I'm going to create this platform. I'm calling it Blog, combining the word blog and law, B-L-A-W-G. And I really want to make this my full-time job because I'm so passionate about it. I'm so excited. That's what I've been starting to work on, and I'm so happy and excited, and yeah. So let me shift over a little bit and tell you a little bit more about today's podcast. I interview my friend Kaylin. We connected over Instagram, and I started following her before I became a mom. I wasn't even pregnant yet, and I was following along with her Instagram. She has two twin girls and an older son, and I believe they're all middle school age or around that age. And she just, I mean, looking at her, you're like, oh my gosh, she has it all together. She, feeds them healthy. She makes being a mom look so easy. So I really pick her brain in this episode. I ask her all the things like, how do you stay organized? How do you get your kids to eat healthy food? Everything I could possibly think of that's been on my mind. And she is a gem. She's so sweet. If you want to go follow her, she's Mamana Matcha. And let's jump right in. Okay. Enjoy, guys. I don't know about you guys, but I literally cannot survive a morning without sipping on something hot. Even in the summer, I just love sipping on something hot. So whether that be coffee, or
Lately, I've been really enjoying Copper Cup. So they are a organic, dairy-free, caffeine-free, adaptogenic blend. They have three varieties. They have a turmeric golden milk latte. They have a ginseng, which is super greens. And then they have a, okay, bear with me because I'm totally going to butcher this name, but Shisandra berry. It's a red latte, and they are made to relieve stress and improve your mood and give you that boost of energy without caffeine. They're actually really good at night as well because they help you sleep better, and they're made with powerful adaptogenic spices. All you have to do is you take the powder. I actually like to froth the milk first, and you mix the powder and the milk of your choice. It could be, you know, nut milk, coconut milk, dairy, whatever you want. And then you can also add things like honey or cinnamon. I find that if I have coffee in the morning, sometimes I hit like that 2 o'clock slump. So Copper Cup is like the perfect way to, you know, get that boost of energy without filling your body with a ton of caffeine. So if you would like to try Drink Copper Cup, you can head over to their website, drinkcoppercup.com. And then the other cool thing is they actually have this deal. You can try all three flavors for just $6.99, and that's right on their website. And then I'm not sure what podcast episode it is yet, but stay tuned because I interviewed the two beautiful women who own and run Copper Cup, and they just have like the most magical story. You know, they harvest all their product from Hawaii. It's sustainable farming. It's organic. It's just a really wonderful and consumer conscious business that I'm really proud to support, and I'm super thankful that they support my business as well. So if I were you, I would head over to Drink Copper Cup right now and give them a try. Hi, Kaylin, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. You've been trying to organize this for a while now, so I feel like it's actually perfect timing today because we've had, like, a crazy week as, like, my first week being a stay-at-home mom, and I totally need your advice and guidance and all the things, so.
Oh, yeah. It's an adjustment, for sure.
Get ready for all my questions.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited. I try to answer her as best as I can, but I'm still figuring it out, too, half the time.
So why don't we start off by just giving everybody a brief background about yourself?
Well, I'm Kaylin. I always hate these questions because I'm like, I don't know what to say about myself. I'm a mom and a wife. I have three kids. I have twins who are 10 and then a 15-year-old boy. The twins are girls. I don't know. I've always worked, and I just started staying home about 4 years ago. It was a big adjustment. Bigger adjustment than I actually thought it would be. I'm sure you're figuring that out as well.
Totally.
Kind of think it's going to be like, yay, and it's so wonderful. But at the same time, you're like, wow, this is like a whole nother, like navigating new water, being at home all day long with the kids.
Absolutely. And I feel like when I was working, when I was in the office, I should say, because obviously when you're a stay-at-home mom, you're still working. I was really concerned about my physical health. I'm like, I need to make sure I'm like getting up from my desk and walking around and walking on my lunch break and, you know, fitting in some yoga because I'm just like stagnant all day and things like that. And now that I'm home, I'm like, I'm more concerned about my mental health. I'm like,
oh yeah, you're totally
always stupid. On call. It's nuts.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's what I said. I didn't realize like how working was almost like, no, I don't know if break would be the right word, but it was almost like, it's just you. And then when you're at home, it's not. You're just constantly on call all the time. Like you said, you're like, ah.
It's such a blessing, but it's just, it will also wear on you. So,
oh, it does.
With that being said, what are some, like, tips you have for, you know, stay-at-home moms or work-from-home moms since you've been doing this for 4 years now?
I would say, and I'm not always the best at this, but what has been, like, a saving grace for us is trying to be on a schedule. Because otherwise, I feel like everything is out of control and just pure chaos. Being on a schedule has made a huge difference for me, but also the kids, because they kind of just are in a rhythm of things. Like, yeah, mom's home, but we're still waking up at this time. We're still eating breakfast at this time. My kids don't nap anymore because they're older, but when I first stayed home, they did nap. Like, well, the girls napped like once a day. And it would transition from a nap to just like a rest time. And even Devin would kind of rest. And that's when I would kind of catch up with like cleaning or just take some time to myself. But the schedule was key in the whole thing, really. Because otherwise I just felt like I was out of control. Also, to not like overplan, because initially I'm like, I'm going to be home. We're going to do all these activities and crafts and we're going to go here and there and it's going to be so much fun. And then I did that for like a week and then I'm like, I can't keep this up. It's not going to happen. Like, you have to be okay just like doing nothing as well.
I actually, that last one totally resonates with me. I feel like I'm so guilty of that. My first week home was last week, and we went to story time on Tuesday and Thursday. We went to a mom group on Wednesday. We had plans on Friday. And, yeah, incorporating your first tip, we were not on a schedule. So yeah. I definitely think that I could use that advice.
Yeah, it makes a difference. And then also trying not be, like the second one, not being so like do all the things all the time. Like, and I still do that. Like when the kids get out of school for the summer, I'm like, okay, we have a full schedule of parks and swimming and this and that. And then we start and then I'm like, okay, I'm dead already. And it's like week one of summer break. So I'm like, I need to space these out more and not try to do everything all at once. So that was a big one. Also, what I've noticed is keeping my like daytime meals, like lunches and like breakfast for the kids, like simple, because I also thought when I was going to be home, I'd make like these elaborate breakfasts and lunches and, because I'm home, but that also created a big burnout as well, because cooking three giant meals a day also wears out in between all the other stuff, opposed to just keeping things simple. So, you know, having just easy things, like healthy options to throw together for lunches and breakfast in the morning made a big difference, because creating three feasts a day, which I thought I was going to do, just also was not sustainable at all.
Oh my goodness. I totally agree with that. I feel like I barely get to drink my coffee hot. I can't even imagine doing three full meals and then cleaning up after them and doing the dishes. You know, it just doesn't get done.
Yeah, exactly. Also, that was a rude awakening.
So when it comes to, like, making sure your kids eat healthy. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
When it comes to, like, eating healthy, you are really on top of it with your kids. You know, provide healthy meals for them. And what are some of your secrets aside from keeping it simple? Like, how do you you know, guide your kids to want to eat healthy over eating cookies, or is it just about balance? Like, what is your kind of philosophy that you would give to a new mom?
I would definitely say balance is key. I'm not, like, we do eat, you know, really healthy when we're at home, but also, and I know everybody's different, but like if they go to like birthday parties or events and stuff, I'm not like knocking chips and cookies out of their hands, because I know when they're at home, they eat well. If we go somewhere, we'll pack snacks if we're on the go, so we're not running through like fast food places. But it is balance. I, you know, when they're with their friends, who a lot of them, you know, I mean, aren't eating the same way we do. I let them, you know, I'm not packing their lunches and sending them with them to their friends' houses. They can eat what they want there. And then when they come home, then they eat their food we have. But I also bring, or I have a ton of cookbooks. Like, I'm a cookbook junkie. And the kids see me using the cookbooks all the time. And they have started to take an interest in them. I'll let them go through cookbooks and pick out their own stuff, because a lot of cookbooks, most cookbooks actually have a dessert section. And those desserts, even though they're healthy, still taste just as good as if you were to go buy, like, a cake at the store. But then they get to help make it, which makes a big difference, because it kind of gives them ownership of what they're creating. So then they're more likely to actually eat the food, opposed to me making it. They automatically assume it's some healthy food. It's not going to be good. You can't make a healthy cake. Well, you can make a healthy cake. You can make healthier cookies and snacks. And if they help make them, then they're way more inclined to eat them. And I mean, it goes with kids once they get old enough to help bake. Being persistent, which is actually really kind of hard sometimes when you're first starting out, because Devin, we didn't always eat super healthy. Like with the girls, they grew up eating a certain way. Devin, I think he was probably 5 or 6 when we kind of transitioned into like clean eating and healthy. So once he, you know, we started putting new food on his plate, we transitioned, we got rid of a bunch of our junk. He, I don't know, you could say not rebelled, but he just wasn't having any of it. He wasn't interested in any of it. So we have we implemented, and the girls still have to do this too, a try it bite. They have to take at least one bite of whatever it is they think they don't like. And if they take the bite, then they don't have to eat it if they don't like it. But typically, you know, we serve things more than once during the week or the month. And even though they did try it the one time and didn't like it, they still will have to try it again the next time we have it. Because a lot of times it takes kids like 5 to 6 times, sometimes even 10 times to like try something before they realize that they like it. And that even goes with me. I'm a really picky eater. And so for me, I just had to keep trying it. So persistence is definitely key.
Oh, I love that. I love that term, the try it diet. Like, they have to try it, and if they don't like it, that's fine. But that's a really good tactic to implement.
Try it bite.
Oh, try it bite. Got it.
Yeah, try it bite. They have to take the one bite, regardless of what it is. And it's funny because if we go somewhere and like a restaurant or something, and my meal's served with something I don't like, and I'll be like, eh, and then the kids are like, no, you need to try it. We have to try it. Goes both ways, for sure.
That's so funny. So you mentioned that you are a cookbook junkie. Do you have, like, 3 favorites that you always reach for?
Oh, yeah. Okay. This is tricky. I'm just like, Mike is always like, you have so many cookbooks. I like Wellness Mama. That is what I really like. 'Cause the meals she makes are pretty simple. I like cookbooks where I can look at a meal and be like, okay, I can make this in a certain amount of time. Once I see, like, if I'm getting out like 4 different pans for one meal, I'm like not interested anymore.
Oh, totally. There's just not enough time for that.
All right. So that's an easy one. 100 Days of Real Food. All of her cookbooks are my favorite. She's actually the one that got me into the clean eating. Way, 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 way back in the beginning when she started. So all of hers, let's see, Wellness Mama and what's the third one? I would say I like the Against All Grain ones too, that Danielle Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Her cookbooks are go-tos for me as well.
So you also kind of mentioned that Devin was like a little bit more of a harder transition to clean eating. And I can definitely relate because I love finding like super easy swaps, you know, like chickpea pasta. Like, I totally don't mind. If I can fake myself to think I'm eating pasta, I'm totally down with it. But my husband, on the other hand, is like, every meal, he's like, what are you tricking me with? What is this really?
Oh, yeah. So, mine was too. And so
do you have any, like, good swaps that you, that are, like, favorites of yours?
Yeah, kind of like what you said, like, the switching up, like, pastas for different pastas, like the chickpea one, or the fan favorite at our house is red lentil pasta. The kids actually didn't, well, like, I don't even know if they still know that it's made with red lentils. I think Tolerant is the brand of one that we get. I think that's the one. Like when I make fried rice, I will use cauliflower rice, which, you know, tastes very similar, but realistically kids will know, or if they've ever had, I mean, my kids know if I make cauliflower rice opposed to regular rice. So what I do is add rice to the cauliflower rice and they have no idea really, or they just don't care.
I love that idea with regular rice.
Yeah. Cause they see the regular rice in there and that's all they're really like looking for. And you can't really tell cause, you know, they'll call it whatever flavor, but I think it's just a different texture than regular rice, you know? So if you're a little kid, like a younger child, you can know. So I just mix, I'll cook a whole bag of cauliflower rice and then like a little pack of like a microwavable pack of like, we do a lot of quinoa, and I'll mix that in there with it. And they have no idea, or they never say anything. They'll eat the whole thing of cauliflower rice without a problem. They also like smoothies, and so that's a good way to sneak it in. I do, like, if I'm trying to get them to eat some greens without making a green smoothie, I'll choose fruit that will mask the green color, and like a protein powder that will mask a lot of, like, you know, the earthy taste that it might have. So it's just like little things like that, or soups, blended soups are good one. One of Audrey's favorite soups, she calls it, it's just like a creamy veggie soup, but it has like carrots, zucchini, and cauliflower and all sorts of stuff in it, and she has no idea.
So, I love that. Those are some really good swaps. I love the idea of mixing just a little bit of real rice with a healthier rice. That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
So you also mentioned that you were inspired, like, many years ago to switch over to the clean eating. Do you want to talk a little bit about, like, why you guys decided to switch over?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It was back when I was working in my office job, and I'd have, like, time in between my projects, and I would read the news, and it was funny because I think it was Yahoo. Like, I saw this article, and it was about Lisa Leake and her family, and how they switched to clean eating for 100 days. And so I read it, and I was like, huh. I don't know what it was, but it just really resonated with me. And I like a challenge. And so I'm like, well, she did it for 100 days. And, you know, she went in depth on it. And this was, like, literally before, like, right when she started her blog. And so I went to her blog and was really inspired. And so then slowly I just... And I think she even described on there, like, how to slowly, like, get rid of the sugar and do this and do that. And so I just started doing that, and that's basically where it all started. So it was just that Yahoo article. And then, you know, the more you read about it, the more you want to know. So then you just research it on your own, and then you start buying books, and that's kind of where it all started, basically. It was that news article on Yahoo about Lisa Leake and 100 Days of Real Food.
So interesting. Now, did you kind of switch over to the healthier lifestyle around the same time that you started using essential oils, or has essential oils, like, always been a part of your life?
I would say we started eating clean first, and then my mom started the soap market, like, our, which Tana does now. My sister Tana obviously does the soap market stuff. But that was, like, kind of around the same time. as we switched over more into the clean eating, maybe like a couple, maybe like a year or so after. And then, but I mean, we've always basically since the beginning have used the Soap Market product. So we've never, I guess it's just kind of been like, it's always been the Soap Market since it started. So for over 10 years, well, over 10 years, I think she started it in 2005 is when it originally started. 2005, sorry, I'm trying to think of the date. So it's been a while, and then as the Soap Market kind of progressed, that's when oils kind of started to be more introduced into my life. And so I guess they've been in there for a while, but I haven't emphasized on them as much as recently since I've done more research into it. It's always mostly been essential oils in the skincare products opposed to essential oils on their own and for cleaning, you know, all the other different facets that you can use essential oils for opposed to just in skincare product.
Totally. And I just as a side note, I always thought it was really cool that you and your two sisters are all super like health conscious and, you know, all have a form of like blogging or micro blogging. I'm totally like the oddball in my family. You know, the weirdo who's like, I use essential oils. I won't, you know, I prefer shopping at the farmer's market and things like that. So I always thought it was really super cool that you guys, all had that like connection and mindset.
Oh yeah. We're super, super close. And so like, if one of us kind of like starts doing something or reading something, you know, we're in this like constant group text all the time. And so we're always like, oh, hey, look at this. Or I just read this. And, you know, and so then we're like, oh, okay. And so we always are pretty much on the same page with everything. Cause we're just like in constant, like we're all interested in it, which helps. But then, you know, we're like, oh, read this and look at this and, you know, try this. And so, yeah, I think I do take for granted how nice it is to have your sisters be so into the same things that we are. It makes a big difference.
Oh, it definitely does. You know, you mimic the, I mean, as much as like, you know, we are independent people, we definitely mimic our surroundings. So if you're constantly immersed around like health and wellness and clean eating and all that good stuff, then I definitely think it has like a more positive effect on your life.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So my other question for you is, obviously I'm a new mom and I'm also like semi new to essential oils. Like I use them here and there for myself, but, I haven't really toyed with them with Lizzie yet just cause she's only 9 months old and cause I don't have a ton of experience with them, or I should say confidence. I just don't have like the knowledge this juncture. But what are like some of your go-to oils that you use for your kids?
I'm trying to think. We use a lot of them. I would say, well, lavender. They all, and mine are, like I said, old enough to know like what they like right at this point. But like lavender is always a good go-to one, because it has so many beneficial properties to it. It's calming. It's, you know, great for, you know, cuts and scrapes and healing. So that one I always have, but, and I'll put it on their, like if they fall up like their bike or they get a mosquito bite, you know, I think it's great for that. But they also use it in their diffusers. They have their own rollers that have lavender in it, except Audrey hates lavender, so she will not use lavender. She likes Stress Away for diffusing and in rollers. And that's more like aroma therapy, but we make bug spray with the essential oils like citronella, lemongrass, purification, peppermint, good for, you know, an all-natural bug spray because it's hard to find, like, a good quality bug spray that doesn't have all the junk in it.
Totally. And finding bug spray without DEET is, like, crazy.
Oh, yeah. And it works, which is nice. Like, they each have, like, their own little spray bottle of it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they can spray it themselves because it's just oils and distilled water and witch hazel. So I'm like, that's fine. You can spray yourself with it. I also like orange. essential oil for them. It's an uplifting one that they like to put in their rollers and diffuser blends. They also use it in, I'll put a drop of it in their smoothies. Like if they, I'm trying to think of one, like they like almond milk, ice, like a drop of orange essential oil in their smoothies. They like it like that. Also, orange essential oil is great for teeth whitening. So you can put a drop like on your toothbrush with your toothpaste and brush your teeth, and it's a natural teeth whitener.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah. They like to do it like that. And I think they just like the way the orange tastes. So they know, you know, they don't swallow it. They just brush their teeth with it, rinse their mouth out. I'm trying to think. There's so many. I know I'm getting kind of like, I'm trying to stay on track with it.
But no, those are all really good examples. I had no idea about the orange on the toothpaste or toothbrush. Yeah. That's a great tip.
Yeah, and orange, it's just real versatile. And it goes with almost every essential oil blend in the diffuser. It's great. It's just an uplifting scent. It tastes, you know, it's like a fresh, bright taste. It's just, you know, one that we always use and have. And it's not a very expensive oil either, which is nice because we do go through it a lot.
Yeah, they can definitely get pricey, which kind of I feel like is a little bit of a deterrent. You get so much, use out of just a little bit, but the fact that the bottles look so small, you're like, $40 for this bottle, like.
Oh yeah, I agree, and I actually try to be thrifty with my oils, like in what I use, like in what the kids use with the oils, and I'm not. I mean, we got three kids, and so we use oils. I mean, we use them pretty quick. So for me, it's not practical to buy like, you know, $190 bottle of rose essential oil because it would go too fast, or I would never use it when I could buy a ton of like cedarwood and lavender and orange for that same, you know, I could get a ton of the ones that are not as expensive for the same price. And so I try to base a lot of like my DIYs and the stuff that I use on the kids on the more less expensive oils because they work just as good. Like lavender is like $25 or something like that. Well, for the big bottle or like the 15 mls bottle, and we use that all the time. Orange, and this is through Young Living. I know there's different places and they're different prices at different places, but like orange is like $11. Well, we go through that. Like it's not, you know, it's economical to buy that over and over again because we use it all the time. So I just try to base a lot of, like I said, the DIYs and what the kids use off of the ones that are not like $90 and $160, you know?
That totally makes sense. And okay, so before we go, I want to pick your brain. What are some of your favorite health and wellness bloggers to follow or websites? Like, where do you get your, everyday health and wellness tips and inspiration from?
Well, besides you, because I'm always looking at what you're doing, and I'm not just saying that. I literally am like, oh, she did this, or she's doing this, and so.
Thank
besides,
you.
No problem. Besides you, I would say, like I said, 100 Days of Real Food is like a go-to for like my recipes if I'm trying to find something to make. And they have, you know, on their website, I'm sure everybody's been there, you can just search by ingredient, like chicken. Okay, well, that's easy. They pull up all like the chicken recipes. So that's a big one. Wellness Mama's website is a really good one for DIYs. And I like a lot of her food. And I'm trying to think. Like, I know them at the top of my head because I'm on them every day. And then, like, I have to, like, think of what they actually are. And then I'm like, wait a second. Another one that is kind of new that I've been really into is, like, livesimply.me. She is easy, clean eating, healthy living stuff that I'm always, like, looking at. She's got a lot of like organization and meal planning and ideas for lunches, in breakfasts, so that would be another one. And I think those are in Oshiglows, like, because sometimes I want to be plant-based at least once, twice a week. I'll try to make plant-based dinners for the kids without making it, like, super obvious that they're not eating meat. And she has a lot of good ones that I think are well-rounded enough to, that I can sneak them by my family without them being like, wait a second, there's no meat. So.
That's funny. Yeah, I feel like that's constantly the battle in my house, too, but with my husband.
Oh, yeah, it makes a difference. Like, there's, you know how, like, chicken or something on the table, they're like, wait a second, what's happening?
Yeah, yeah. My husband, like, he started asking me in the morning, I'm like, oh, what are you making for dinner tonight? I'm like, you'll find out when you get home and it's already made.
Yeah, exactly. Mine will do that, too. Like, I noticed you don't have any meat you're thawing out.
Yep.
They're like, nope, not today.
So where can everybody find you on Instagram? Where can they contact you? And also, side note, I'll definitely leave your essential oils link in my show notes.
Oh, perfect. On Instagram, I'm momming, M-O-M-M-I-N-G, on matcha. On Facebook, I have a Facebook page, which is more on it lately. I'm going to start posting every week about how I've been using my essential oils. It's my essential oils Facebook page, which is essentially Kaylin, K-A-Y-L-E-N. And that's where I have, like, DIYs. I talk about what I'm ordering that month, why I'm ordering it. So it's just, like, more information about essential oils. The momming on matcha is more, like, I have essential oil stuff on there, but it's more, like, food and health-related stuff. And then hopefully, and I know I've been saying this forever, in the next few months, I will get my blog going.
Yay!
Yeah. I'll let you know when that happens. Still on the list of things to do.
My fingers are crossed.
Someday.
So I have one more question for you, and I ask everybody who comes on the podcast, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Sorry, what was that? You kind of cut out a little bit.
Oh, I ask everybody who comes on the podcast, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Oh, that is easy. It's GT's chia raspberry flavored one. It's with the chia seeds in it. That usually nobody likes. They're slimy. I know.
You know, it's so funny. I used to hate it. And now that I don't know why, I just, like, have totally done 360. I love the chia seeds in it. It's so good.
It is. I feel like it gives me more energy, but it also, I think, is easier to drink because I feel like sometimes I just, like, sip on the kombucha, and this, I'm, like, drinking it, and I drink it, and
absolutely,
then I'm done. And so, I like it. I also like the grape. I know you said one, but chia grape and chia raspberry
so
are
good.
My favorite.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.